Good morning again. It's great to be here. Thank you for being such a welcoming church to not only myself, but of course to my wife Lisa and the kids. In many ways, it kind of feels like my second church here. So as many of you would possibly know, that this is actually the only church where I've conducted a wedding. In my 6 years, I've only ever done the one wedding, and it's been here. We meet regularly. We actually have our school ministry association meetings in the back hall here. We also, time to time, have our minister association meetings here. So I know quite a number of you, familiar faces. So it's wonderful being here. I must say, you guys are a great singing church. It's wonderful to be singing and praising God with you. This week, as I was preparing for today's message, I jumped online and I heard a fantastic presentation of Colossians chapter 3 from verses 18 to 4 verse 1 by none other than the Reverend James Stone. It was clear, it was informative, it was wise, but the only disappointment that I have is, James, how could you have such self-control and not break out in song? I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. That's all I've got. Anyway, James, afterwards, you know, SingStar, me and you, we can get together. Yep, we can. Anyway, how about we pray as we come to God's word this morning? Father God, we thank you that we are one in Christ. We thank you that as children of our Lord, that we can gather here together as one people, faithfully, loving your word. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would feed us, that you would nourish us, and that we would grow to be ever more like our Lord Jesus. So, Father, we pray this now in his name. Amen. Okay, so we are continuing from where James left off last week in chapter 4, verse 2. And there, as you see in your Bibles before you, Paul, he writes, devote yourselves to prayer. Literally here in the Greek, Paul is saying, pray continually. That's what Paul is saying. And the question that you might have is, well, why does Paul say this? Well, Paul, he doesn't need to tell us to do something that we do naturally, does he? People don't need to tell you to breathe or to go to the beach. No, people generally can work that out for themselves. But continuing in prayer, devotion to prayer, that's not a natural thing. It is something that only happens, as you've been learning in Colossians, when you submit yourself, isn't it, to the Lordship of Christ. It is what the transformed person does, the one who has died and who has risen with Christ. And so until Christ returns and glorifies us with sinless perfection, we will find it hard and difficult to pray continually, to be devoted to prayer. And that's why Paul, he needs to instruct us to do this. I know I need this instruction, to always be devoted to prayer. Now, don't get me wrong, I love praying to God. I know it is a great privilege, isn't it, to speak to the creator of the universe, to have him care for me and listen to my prayers. That is something, isn't it? And yet in my earthly nature, which I am trying to put away, I find myself filling up my life with all of these things that are so unimportant and squeezing God out of my life. Paul's reminder to the people of Colossae is what I need. A reminder to be devoted in prayer. And so Paul, he says in verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devotion to prayer, that is continually praying. And he says there, be watchful and thankful in our prayers. This is an interesting point that I quite enjoyed actually thinking about during the week. Because I don't normally tell people to be watchful in their prayers. I don't know about you, but it's something that in some sense was quite interesting for me. Literally, again, the Greek, it talks about keeping awake. When it says watchful, it says keep awake or alert. But literally, it is keep awake in your prayers. And so it got me thinking, does this mean don't drift off and fall asleep when you're praying? Well, it's interesting because this is the same phrase, the same word, if you like, that Jesus uses when he told his disciples to remain awake in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he, of course, he went off and prayed to the Father and they fell asleep. He was telling them to stay awake. Not just so that they wouldn't be asleep, of course, but rather so that they wouldn't fall into temptation. And quite commonly in the New Testament, this phrase to stay awake, it's also used to be on guard. To be on guard or awake so that you are ready when Jesus himself returns. And so I think what Paul is saying here, if I've understood this phrase rightly, is that we are to pray devotedly or constantly, as it literally is, and to remain awake or alert in our prayers, or as it says there, watchfully, because this is us being vibrant and active, if you like, in our spiritual lives. This is how we keep ourselves accountable, if you like, to ourselves and be on guard from temptation. This is how we remain spiritually healthy. As, of course, prayer, isn't it? It is the activity of the believer. And it counters the temptations, doesn't it, of the devil. Why keep praying all the time? Is it so that Jesus, when he returns, he might see you doing the right thing and pat you on the back? No, it's not. It's not quite that, is it? No, rather, it's so that when Jesus returns, you'll be ready. You'll be active in your faith. You'll be ready to follow him and strengthened. You'll be protected against the snares of Satan and you won't be deceived. The disciples, they needed to be praying for God's strength in the garden on that night. And yet they fell asleep. And so they became vulnerable, didn't they, to the temptation of Satan as they all fell away. They fell away from Jesus and they fled. So we need to keep praying. Keep praying that you will not give into temptation. That you will be delivered from the evil one. Stay awake. Don't take prayer for granted. Pray earnestly, watchfully, sincerely. It's been interesting, as I said, reflecting on this verse, thinking about in what ways do I not stay awake? How is it that I'm not alert in my own prayers? And I don't know if this is true for you, but certainly for me, I know that at times my mind, it can wander when I'm praying. Even when I'm praying on my own, or when I'm praying with others, or even worse, when I'm leading others in prayer. This is literally not being alert or awake. It's switching off, isn't it? It's akin to just falling asleep at the wheel. And what's more, it is just totally inappropriate. As I've been reflecting on this, my prayer life. It's just plain rude, actually. I mean, when you speak to someone, it's just basic manners, isn't it, to give them your full attention. Thinking of other things or drifting off to sleep when praying to God, that's just kind of like your eyes are glued to the screen whilst you're talking to somebody else. It's just rude. You just don't appreciate people doing that to you, do you? And so, why should we or would we do that to God? God, he deserves better. Or rather, God, being who he is, he deserves our best. So be alert. Be watchful. Stay awake when you pray. Don't allow your prayers to become stale and meaningless. I've appreciated Matt's prayers as he prays with vigor and leads us to pray earnestly to God for things that really do matter. Because our prayers, they can become stale and meaningless, can't they? Some prayers I know, I've prayed them so many times, and sometimes I feel like, look, I know what I need to say, I can just say it quickly and be done. What a terrible attitude. Don't let your prayers become like the kids' response when they get home from school and you say, how was your day at school? Good. You know what I'm talking about, right? The school canteen could have been on fire that day. Good. You know, they're not engaged, they're not talking to you. No, Paul, he warns us. Stay awake, be alert, on guard in our prayer. What things could we do to help ourselves with this? Well, I think praying with others is a good idea. It helps you to be accountable. Using different language, I think, is also helpful, not just saying the same things. I know we like to get into patterns in our prayer, don't we? Gathering different things to pray. Again, we often just pray for the same things, but there is so much to pray for. But at the end of the day, I don't think it is whether your prayer points or even your wording is different that will make you awake in your prayer. It won't even make you devoted to prayer, because at the end of the day, it is about your attitude, isn't it? It is about your heart. I think recognizing what prayer is and who you are praying to will also go a long way to helping you pray, to be alert in your prayers and sincere. It is God we are speaking to. And also remembering our great need for prayer. Why did the disciples not pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? Why will some be caught out when Jesus returns? It's because we don't recognize our spiritual vulnerability. We don't understand the power of God through prayer. Jesus, he teaches us to pray. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Again, I know I'm guilty of just saying those words without really being concerned about the consequences of temptation, of Satan's temptation, of him being active in my life. But it is very real. And there is a very real need for me to pray. Well, verse 2, we're still on verse 2. It says there, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. thankfulness. Again, a great reminder for a sinner like me to pray with thankfulness. Because we Aussies, we're great at having a whinge, aren't we? We love being the battler, the underdog. But if you are a child of God, you are something so much more than an Aussie battler. You are a conqueror. A conqueror in Christ. You have victory over death. You have every spiritual blessing in Christ. How rich. As you've been seeing in Colossians chapter 1, it tells us that we share in the inheritance of God's holy people in the kingdom of light. That's pretty good, isn't it? And there's more in chapter 1, isn't it? It says that Jesus, he will present us holy before God without blemish and free from accusation. Without blemish before God. I mean, who needs foundation when you have Jesus? There's a joke in there. Foundation, blemish. Anyway, it's not funny when you have to explain them. But anyway, let's keep going. And we have to be so thankful because we have so much to be thankful for. When we approach God in prayer, we ought to do with an attitude, a general attitude of thanks. Again, it's our sinful nature, isn't it, that causes us to approach God in inappropriate ways. To grumble before God. But no. Now, I want to say that this is not to say that we don't at times come to God in great distress or anxiety. We know that from the Psalms it is appropriate to express our heartfelt emotions and concerns before God. But again, even in the Psalms, you see it time and time again, don't you, that the Psalms will turn to praising God. There is so much to thank God for in all circumstances. So let's be devoted to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Well, verse 3. Paul, he then asks the Colossians to pray for him and for Timothy as well, of course. He says, pray for us. Pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. What is it that Paul is asking prayer for? It's so that God might open a door for them to proclaim Christ. Of course, in Paul's case, he was in chains. He was under arrest in Rome. And so he's asking for the church at Colossae to partner with him, that he might have further opportunities to proclaim the mystery of Christ. At this point, you can't help but think, wow, how good is Paul, isn't it? I mean, Paul, he's pretty good. He's in chains in prison, and he's not asking for his freedom. No, he's simply asking that he can keep proclaiming Jesus. If Jesus had returned in Paul's lifetime, there is no doubt, is there, that Jesus would have found Paul spiritually awake and alert. Paul, he gives us such a great example of desiring for people to know Christ. Do you desire for people to know Christ? In some ways, that's a pretty unfair question, isn't it? I mean, Paul, he was an apostle. He was extraordinary. And yet, of course, Paul himself, he asks us to follow his example as he follows Christ. Now, of course, as you've been seeing in Colossians, desiring people to know Christ, that will only come about when you submit, isn't it, to the Lordship of Jesus. When you find fullness in him. And when the Spirit of God, it renews your desires as you put to death the earthly nature. Of course, when that happens, then you will desire for Christ to be known. And then you will pray that this will happen. It really is an act of God's providence that I'm speaking on this particular passage with you. This is the only week in this term that I could make it. And it just so happens that your preaching program had fallen onto this passage, a passage which speaks about praying for Christ to be proclaimed. And I want to take this opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for praying for me and with me as I've been teaching scripture in the high schools. That is an expression of this very verse. And I know that you are praying for me, not because it is simply the right thing to do, the good Christian thing to do, but because you are submitting, aren't you, to the Lordship of Christ. We're united. We are together in this. And you are desiring the will of God that the mystery of Christ might be proclaimed to the kids, our kids, in our local high schools. So thank you. And please keep praying for me and with me, because I sure need your prayers. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul himself, is requesting and needing the prayers of the Colossians, then I certainly need the prayers of the Engadinians. And of course, don't just pray for me. Well, pray for all scripture teachers. For those who are presenting the gospel through various ministries, no doubt various ministries through this church. Pray for your pastors as they prepare the word to feed you each week, that they might proclaim the mystery of Christ. Pray for the missionaries that your church supports. The Wilsons in Ireland, we too support the Wilsons, and it's great to hear what God is doing in their lives, their recent approval of their visa, the challenges that they face, that we can pray for them, that God might open opportunities for them, that they might proclaim the mystery of Jesus. Well, continuing with verse 3, verse 4, Paul, he writes, doesn't he? Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. When I read this, I think, wow, I really do need your prayers. Paul, he's asking for prayers that he will proclaim Christ, as it says, clearly. I don't know about you, but at times I don't read Paul that clearly. I am confused at times at what he says. And I recognise that the problem is more me than what Paul is saying. There is that whole issue, isn't there, of it being originally in Greek and we've got it in English. 2,000 years ago, different country, different culture, all of those things. And so I get that, you know, it's difficult, more difficult now than when Paul was writing. But, of course, what we see in the Bible, that Paul, he was an effective evangelist. He seemed like he was a pretty good communicator. He was an apostle called by Jesus. He knew his theology. He knew his Bible. He knew his apologetics. And yet he's still asking for prayers that he would proclaim Jesus clearly. And notice there, Paul, he doesn't just say that I might proclaim it as clearly as possible. No. He says as clearly, verse 4, as I should. Okay, that word there, should, in the Greek, it's a word that says as I ought, as I must. Okay, it is a requirement. Paul, he knows he has a huge responsibility. It's not just trying your best. No, there is a standard that Paul must, he should, he has to obtain. And again, reading this, please pray for me that I will not only be clear in my presentation of the scriptures to the children, but I will do so as I ought, as I must. Not simply just trying my best. Each class that I teach, it has kids at various levels of literacy when it comes to their understanding of the Bible. Various levels of ability. I need to be sensitive in how in which I teach them, that I would be clear. The kids, they ask a lot of questions. Sometimes I don't think I answer the questions that they're asking. At times I think I answer the questions too much, in too much depth to what they're asking. At times I haven't thought through the passage enough. At other times I haven't thought through how I can engage the kids. What questions can I ask to encourage them? As I've already mentioned, there is the issue of classroom management, how to be disciplined yet relational, to be fair and yet gracious. Please pray that I might proclaim the mystery of Christ with clarity. Pray that for all that you know, who strive to present Jesus to others. You know, the remarkable thing about verses 3 and 4 is that Paul, who is an apostle, he's asking for the church in Colossae to pray for him. Paul, he recognizes the power of prayer and the partnership of gospel ministry. Here we see that gospel ministry is not, it's not a one-man band. No, it is a people of God band. All of us together, because we are together, we are one body, aren't we? With Christ as the head. The Apostle Paul, he is fallible and he knows it. And so he needs God's empowering through the prayers of God's people. I'm fallible. And I know it. And so I need God's empowering through the prayers of God's people. High school scripture, it's not simply my ministry. In fact, it's simply not even our ministry. But rather, it is God's ministry. God's ministry, which he fulfills through us, but empowered by him. So let's keep praying. Finally, we round out our passage today with verses 5 and 6. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, Paul, he doesn't just ask the Colossians to pray for him, but rather he's praying for them, isn't he? We saw this back in chapter 1. If you flip over chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. This is Paul's prayer, isn't it, for the Colossians? And so just as Paul is praying for them, here in verse 5, he's commanding them to go about their actions wisely. I mean, Paul is praying for this. He's praying for their wisdom and their fulfillment in Christ, that they'll be worthy of the Lord, that they'll bear fruit. But here he's saying, look, I'm not just praying for you, I'm actually telling you this is what you need to do. And literally there, as it says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, make the most of every opportunity. Again, literally it says there in the Greek, it says redeem the time that you have. That's how it's there translated, make the most of every opportunity. Paul is saying we need to redeem the time as if time is just slipping away. There is urgency in Paul's command to not waste your time. Don't waste your life. Because we know salvation in Christ, it is urgent. We know this, don't we? It is a matter of life and death. And so we must act wisely while we can to others who are yet to be saved. And so verse 6, Paul says to the Colossians, may your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that they would know how to answer everyone. Again, there's no doubt that Paul is praying for this to be the case for the Colossians. Now, we should be praying for this to be the case for ourselves. What we see here is that the proclamation of Jesus, it's not just for the apostle. And it's not simply for the scripture teacher. Rather, it's for everyone. It is the entire body, isn't it? It's everybody. The whole body of Christ. Paul is telling us that our conversation is to be full of grace. As we speak to outsiders with love and patience and humility, let's not undermine the gospel message by presenting it in arrogance or confrontational. Remember, it's not about winning arguments, is it? It's about winning souls to Christ. So we are called to be gracious. And as it says there in verse 6, speak conversation seasoned with salt, which means not to be dull in the way in which you talk to others. Because communicating Jesus in your life, it is not a dull thing. It is exciting. And it says it there, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Again, this is the same word that was used in verse 4, that word where it says you ought to, as you should, as you must. So that you may know how to answer everyone. Really, I don't think it captures quite the translation correctly. I think it should be so that you may know how to answer everyone as you ought to, as you must, as you are required. And I want to say, we are told that this is an expectation. This is not optional, if you like. Paul's not saying, well, if you feel like it, or if you're one of the better Christians, or... No, he's not saying that. He's saying it's for all of us. Because we are one body. There are none of us left out or left behind. No, we are together. We serve the same Lord and we proclaim him in our actions, in our conversations. Again, Paul, he doesn't say just to do your best. No, he says as you ought. And again, if anything, this brings us back to the need, doesn't it, of prayer. This is something we ought to do. It's not optional, but it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying the scriptures are telling us we must do it, but it's not easy. How often can we go too far on one extreme where we're too pushy, too bold, too evangelistic, offensive? Or on the other hand, we go the other way, or we're too timid. We're too polite, not broaching those big issues in life, but rather just preferring to talk about the weather again. But the expectation is that we will. And so I suggest to us that not only do we continually need to pray, continually, devoted to prayer, but that we also prepare ourselves for such conversations, that we practice the things that we must do. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for conversations that you might have with a non-Christian friend? How will you explain what church is to them? I mean, if your hope is that one day they will come to church, well, there must be a point at which you have to have that conversation. What is church, if you're going to invite them? How will you explain the significance of Jesus to them? Are you always ready to share your story, your testimony, your love of Jesus? Well, what about this? What will you say when the topic of gay marriage comes up? Is there a Christian perspective on global warming? Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is easy. No, this is really hard stuff. And I'm not saying I've got all the answers. I'm not even saying that I do it particularly well. I need this reminder from Paul just like everyone else. But what Paul is saying is that the time is short. We need to make the most of every opportunity. We need to be prepared to let our conversation be salty, interesting, so that we will answer as we ought. So let's pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that we may live a life worthy of the Lord and please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Father, we thank you for the scriptures, the way in which they remind us, they teach us, they shape us of the ministry that we all share in, the ministry that we share in through prayer, through our actions, through our conversations. Father, we pray that every one of us, every one of your people around the world would proclaim the mystery of Christ. We pray for scripture teachers, for ministry volunteers, for pastors, for missionaries overseas. We pray that they will faithfully and clearly proclaim Christ as they ought, and that we will faithfully uphold them in prayer. Father, we pray to you with great thanks in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.